sit back and get ready to take off with Dynamic Golf. So welcome back, our listeners, our Dynamic Golf listeners. I am your co-host, Tim McElvanna, and with me today is my partner, Sean Klotz. Sean, what are we going to be talking about today, partner?
Oh, hey, Team Mac. How you doing, bud? Great to hear from you, as always. I thought today we'd probably get a little more deep dive into some of the things that will really help our listeners become better ball strikers. I think there's some concepts out there that are either misunderstood or people, you know, as they come to us for lessons, they kind of focus on the wrong things. Mm-hmm. Again, either their buddies told them something on the drive range or when they're playing. And this goes for guys and girls, by the way. This is certainly a unisex type of a podcast here, because we're all doing the similar things.
And absolutely,
again, you know, some YouTube stuff is great. We talked about us, you know, we got to get some YouTube content out there a little better to explain some of these concepts we talk about. But just basically the fact that, you know, let's find the bottom of the swing. I think that's just such an understated term. You don't really read about that, hear about that too often, but when you listen to or watch, or especially if you will go watch a tour player at an event, their ball contact is consistent, right? Which is what everyone wants.
Absolutely. You know, and that's what all of our, you know, students come to us. They want consistency. And I think you're hitting at the right spot. You know, if you want to be consistent, you need to know what the club's doing or the interaction that's happening down at the bottom when the club is making interaction with the ball. And you got to understand that.
My lead story is, or my lead example is, I was watching Vijay Singh at the Masters, I'm going to say around 2005. And it just happened to be that I was up there going to that tournament. And I really loved their practice area. Obviously the golf course is ridiculous, but I really loved their practice area as well. And you know, when you go to Bay Hill, have you been to TPC, watching a tournament there?
No, I haven't been to TPC. I mean, TPC at Tampa, but I haven't been out the Sawgrass at all.
Jacksonville, yeah. So, I mean, there's just certain events that have, like Innisbrook and Clearwater isn't a great range because it's kind of small viewing area. So one of my things would be to our listeners, get to a tour event. I don't care if it's girls or guys, by the way. That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because they're all going to strike it good. And take, you know, really plan part of your day to go watch them on the range, and you'll hear way different sounds than you do when you hit a golf ball.
Absolutely. No, you're not going to hear that big chunky sound that most of us hear at the local driving range.
Right. And, you know, even when we're playing with people and, you know, and we're good, but again, we, you know, our skill level is like, okay, we're good, but there is 15 levels of good in front of us, or, you know,
yeah,
towards the tour player level.
Maybe so, even more levels than that.
Yeah. Well, you know, give yourself credit. Like, we're good. But the thing about the consistent ball striking, so Vijay Singh is at the part of the, and he's by himself. He's in a fairy bunker, which I thought was really weird and ironic. I'm like, what is he doing over there where every other player is on the range, you know, the draft part? And he's in there for 45 minutes, and he's just striping it out of this fairy bunker, hitting it 160, 170 yards. I don't care what club it was. The couple things was, you saw grains of sand being hit after the ball. There was obviously never a bat, not never, but very rarely was there a hit behind the golf ball concept. Mm-hmm. And he talked about it in, like, Golf Magazine, like, the next month. I happened to read the article, which I, again, thought was cool. And they interviewed him, because they did. They said, hey, we noticed you're hitting it out of a fairy bunker at Augusta. What are you doing? He said, I'm really trying to find the bottom of my swing. I think it's so important for me to know where that club makes contact with the golf ball and then what happens after that. And too many people are so concerned about lifting the ball up in the air, and we're more concerned about hitting down through the golf ball and having our divot. If we take a divot, it's going to be after the golf ball.
Correct. And, you know, and I think that's really cool that you were actually there to see Vijay doing that. You're also there able to read the article, so you're able to connect with what he was trying to do at that moment. And I think that, you know, that really brings up a great way to kind of practice. If you're a kind of a person that's struggling with your low point, get yourself in the sand, and if you can hit that thing clearly or, you know, cleanly, then you're hitting that ball first and then getting that sand instead of the opposite way, which we're kind of taught in the bunker to hit the sand first and then the ball, right?
Different bunker shot though, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely the fairway bunker is the one where, and maybe even a little side note for people, fairway bunker play, the goals are keep your lower body quiet, don't move your legs very much because we're going to really use a little more of your arms in your downswing. Mm-hmm. If you drive into the ground, you're going to tend to hit more dirt.
Yep.
And kind of take the extra club. That's always the thing, you know, definitely take an extra club because you're not going to swing it as fast as you would on grass. And I like kind of the three quarter motion instead of the full backswing. Again, everything's to avoid hitting the ball first or hitting the ground first.
Correct. Correct. Making sure that we're pinching that ball first.
Yeah. You stay more level. And we do it in our teaching when we get people with their feet together. If somebody's really, I just had a member this week who was struggling with ball striking, hitting the ground first, classic type A personality, getting frustrated, you know, quickly. He's like, what am I doing? You hit the ground first. You have to get ball first and get your feet close together. And he's like, that doesn't feel comfortable. And I said, I don't really care. Like, get your feet close together. Let's hit some balls, some eight irons. And I don't care how far this ball goes.
Yeah.
You just need to make contact. And he stepped up there and the first three were amazing. He's like, what? I said, yeah. If you don't move as much,
yeah,
and you're doing your weight transfer better because you're narrower, you're going to start having a much better, clearer idea in your head of what you're supposed to do with your feet apart in a bigger swing.
Much more of a natural athleticism that comes out when we do that, right? Instead of this aggressive, yeah, you know, He-Man mentality that I see some people have, you know.
Good characterization. Like, he's a strong guy. And he's, you know, he's been, and we've talked about this before too, he's been successful in other sports. Mm. So, and I'm like, and he did again, kind of maybe 20 minutes later, he's like, so it's not about how hard I hit it. I said, nope.
Yep.
You know, like, at some point, I always want you to swing as fast as you can, but in the right, with the right mechanics.
Correct. Correct. With the right transition and the right, you know, body movements, of course, we don't want to get everything out of balance and stuff like that. So, I was going to ask, you know, when we talk about these things and stuff like this, how important, and I know this is an important part for you, how important is the grip for the golfer, especially for, you know, low point, you know, when we talk about making contact, how important is the grip that you find, Sean, when you teach?
Yeah. You know, I guess I might have maybe morphed in the past 10 years of teaching or whatever, because I used to be pretty, you had to kind of have a conventional, slightly, you know, either neutral or slightly strong grip. I'm not so concerned about that anymore. I think grip is hugely, arguably the most important thing for what the club face is doing at impact, if it's going left, square, or right.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think grip becomes really, really important. I would say maybe the stronger grip, which is, you know, for the right-handed player, the hand's more to the right side of the grip. I think that might impact some people hitting it flat sometimes. Is that what you see too? Because they kind of use that right hand a little more?
Yes, absolutely. You know, once they start getting that right hand, what I say, pushing, you know, then they start kind of, you know, hitting into the ground a little bit early instead of having that left hand kind of, you know, catch that ball and then releasing it, like, you know, almost like throwing a frisbee down there at the bottom, you know.
Right.
But when they get that right hand pushing, and the right arm starts extending too, there's, you know, it's just not the hand. You start seeing other parts of the body start to move as well, and it's just getting everything, the shoulder, the arm, and the hands, and then it's just kind of fat city.
So that almost always leads to where their weight stays on their back leg coming through impact. And that's the killer. Right? Mm-hmm. That's the killer. So if you follow the trail, top of your backswing, right hand goes first instead of left leg going towards the target.
Mm-hmm.
Your right hand starts to try to scoop the ball up in the air. Your weight shifts back towards your right foot instead of towards your left foot. And just as you know, once you start, but it's all started at the top of the backswing. Like you said, if that right hand is more active and it's going to, good term, extend or straighten,
mm-hmm.
good players have their right elbow so bent and so tucked for such an incredibly long time before they get to impact. It's always extending right at the ball, just before the ball. And then certainly the thing that we see on the other side of the swing is the, classic chicken wing, or we call it like Tyrannosaurus Rex arms, alligator arms, where you got your hands really short and they look like they're close to your body instead of
Little
that great
alligator arms.
extension. Yeah, if you think of the Rory swing and you think of Scheffler's great because he's got his hands are high and away from his body almost the entire time. Justin Thomas, really similar, looking swing, hands are high, far away from it. So they don't really ever get their hands, they don't ever get their hands close to their body on follow through. Their arm, they're extending. And it's always, it's kind of leading. Maybe you're right. It could be, hey, if you got a bad right hand grip, maybe it's going to be a thing where you're going to try to use your right hand already. And yeah, maybe I should pay attention to that more. But I think there's other ways to skin the cat too, if that makes sense, when you're teaching.
Absolutely. It's the message that we convey to the student, and it's how they digest that information, right? I mean, there's sometimes, you'll tell them one way and they don't get it, and you tell them a different way and it clicks for them. And for the instructor, sometimes it doesn't make any rhyme or reason why, just whatever makes up that person, that was something, the words that you used or the feeling that you gave them related to what it is, and then they're kind of off and running, you know?
Right. And I think that's the sign of a good instructor too, is not to be so egotistical, may not be the term, but sort of set in your ways that they have to learn it your way with your wording. A lot of times, let them rephrase it. Let them, and there's been some times in the past couple weeks I've been teaching a little more up here. I'll say it the way that it's, not supposed to be said, the way that I think it's supposed to be said. And then, 10 minutes later, they're saying it in a different way, but it's in their head and it's come out and it's working. So you don't say, no, I want you to think of it. No, just let them go. They're starting to see some positive results. So,
Yeah, absolutely.
yeah.
And I think, there's a few things there for instructors to understand. One is, at least for me, I find generations are different with different wordings. Like if I'm speaking to an older crowd or a younger crowd, there's different terminology that I use. And the sports that they play, older generations play different sports than the younger generation now plays. And if you can kind of relate those topics and those ideas to them, it seems to kind of help foster the growth that we're looking for.
Yeah, oh, 100%. No, it's you got to be able to. I don't want to talk bad about some of the other big box teaching facilities. I'll just use that term. But it's we're not all built the same. Our arm length's not the same. Our athletic backgrounds aren't the same. You can't cookie cutter teach people to play golf. Yes. Your right hand should be below your left hand on a golf swing. Yes, your feet should be a certain amount of distance away, and you should be square with your feet. There are definitely basic concepts that have to be applied to. But once you get going, if you took the tour players really more, even today, but kind of that 1970s, 60s, 70s, 80s, since the last 20 years, they've become a little bit more consistent looking golf swings on tour. But it's mostly because of video, I would say, that the instructions become more like, okay, Mo Norman, we would never teach Mo Norman's golf swing, but literally the best ball striker, when his peers tell people that he's the best ball striker ever, yeah, okay.
I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's not a swing that you're going to say, hey, let's go out and copy that swing. But if you would look at the results and say you would never change it though. You know what I mean? It's kind of like Scottie Scheffler, when they asked his instructor, would you change his footwork when he was 7 years old? And he says, have you ever seen Scottie hit a ball? Right. So, I mean, there are talents like that where they just kind of go around the mold a little bit and they're able to just, their athleticism is able to take them around. But you're right. You have to have certain fundamentals, to achieve what we need to. And having that, putting that in different terminologies for different people and as you said, not having a cookie cutter kind of way, and making sure that you're on your toes thinking what's the best thing for this student and what's going to relate best to them is what you've got to do right. on every session. I think you just can't be, keep hitting the ball, keep hitting it. Yep. You're too flat. You're too upright. That's not going to, fly.
If I give you these names, right, you're going to start associating this with some golf swing stuff. And basically, if I give you like a Ray Floyd, which is older, I know you're not that old, but you've probably seen videos of him.
Oh, yeah. I've read his books. I love Raymond Floyd.
There you go. So Raymond Floyd, you know, Lee Trevino, mm-hmm. Jack Nicklaus had an unconventional left foot.
Mm-hmm. He had Jim the flying Stewart. Elbow too, right? I mean, nobody would teach that nowadays, the flying elbow.
Nope. Palmer's follow through. Jim Furyk never teach that motion, except he's the only guy to shoot 58 twice.
Right.
Who are we to think that, okay, there's only one way to do it, I guess, is probably the overall general thing.
But I think it kind of comes back to what you're saying in the beginning of our session is that you got to know what your low point is, right? When we look at all those ugly swings or what we think are not aesthetically pleasing swings, one thing they knew was where the bottom of their swing was, right?
They all did, right? That's the magic 3 feet, the 18 inches back, 18 inches forward. That's the thing that is consistent throughout all the ball striking. And working on that. So how do you go work on that? This is one that I don't know if I've ever shown you or done with you, T-Mac, but at that range at Silverado, mm-hmm. Down there in Zephyr Hills, this is one of those where you don't want to put the caution sign on the viewer label, like right now, like, please do not try this at home.
Warning, do not try this at home.
When I was working with somebody and they couldn't figure it out, I would take the golf ball behind the range machine mm-hmm. and put it on the concrete. Okay. On the cart path, I would hit a ball, and I said, do you think I'm going to hurt myself? They're like, yeah, I would never try this. I said, all right, here you go. So I would take a full swing with a 7-iron, and I would hit it off the cart path. I would never take the divot. I would know that I could tell my bottom of my swing well enough to hit it just thin, but not going to be as solid as it'll be off the ground. Mm-hmm. But the point is, I knew my swing. I know my swing well enough that I feel comfortable enough to hit a 7-iron off of concrete.
Yeah.
And again, I don't advocate that for people, but I do advocate, hey, okay, and I want to hear yours too, but one of my best of sort of like try to find the bottom of your swing is when you put the golf ball on the ground, mm-hmm. put the tee directly to the right of that golf ball, and then you start seeing where you're actually making a divot or where you're actually making impact with the ground.
Yeah.
Obviously, the goal is to make the divot at the ball, or it'd be in front of the ball. That's where the divot starts.
Correct. We want to make sure we're getting ball first. You know, as my coach would always tell me, get the little ball first and then the big ball.
Yep. And how do we do that? Like, what are the things that, what are you doing in your swing to make sure that happens through impact?
Well, you know, one of the things I do with my students and help them with impact is, and I think you're right, we want simple tools. We don't need to get fancy with a lot of technology on this. What I do is I take a regular old tee and I place it probably about 2 or 3 feet or 2 or 3 inches in front of the ball for my student. And I tell them, I want you to get the tee out of the ground, right? And for me, it gets them to focus on hitting down through the ball, focusing a little bit more ahead of the ball. Or the other one that I do is I'll place a towel probably about a foot behind the ball, and I tell them that's the no-fly zone, right? So they have to come down at a more steeper angle to come mm-hmm. through. Those are usually the two that I usually try to have two drills for every situation. Yep. So, you know, people can kind of learn. And one is, and the reason is one's in front of the ball and one's behind the ball. So one's more of a positive teaching method, and one is a negative teaching method. So I always try to keep that in mind whenever I'm doing drills, is that I want to have two of each, and one being more of a positive and one being more of a negative. And people respond differently to those, if you know what I mean.
Those are great. Those are great. I haven't done them. I do more of the John McFadden. Now we're going the opposite way with driver, working on going upwards to a driver.
Mm-hmm.
Because hopefully we are all under the golf clubs all the same way.
Yeah,
If you just
me.
put the top front of the golf ball, always, downward driver.
Yeah, so especially with the driver, we're wanting to hit up on it, and a lot of people, I think that's a big concept for some people, is that when we get them and they want to hit the irons, they're always hitting down, and then they're, I'm mixed up with the driver now. So you got to remember that your low point is going to be before with the driver and afterwards with the irons for sure.
Different lessons, really, right? And probably you can't handle both of these things at the same time. You have to go work on the downward attack angle with your irons, and then you got to go, maybe a couple of days later, you go work on your upward attack angle with driver because it's a different move.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. You definitely want to, and it's a different motion. For me, what I kind of do with my students is especially with the driver, what I do is I take like a little object and I place it up in the air out in front of them, probably about 6 or 7 feet, and I say, hey, you need to swing up towards that. And I want you to understand what that feeling is, right? And they start to feel that, oh, I'm swinging up. And then what I kind of do with the irons is I do the drill, and I try to get them that feel for what their body is doing. And I think one of the big things I think that I've learned from you is if you can figure out what your shoulders are doing, through impact, if it's more of a downward strike or more of an upward strike. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely. And getting a little technical on it is that it translates into spin rates, and that's what we're trying to do. And I'm amazed when I go to the range, or work on TrackMan. Either way, my spin rates go down with driver when I'm working upward on my golf swing, and I can't do it at full speed. I can only do it at probably a 60%, maybe 70% speed way. And I've been playing for 30 years, still working on it. But then, my spin rates go down. Ball flies equally as far, maybe not as far, but if I'm hitting it 240 and it's going with more top spin, it's going to roll to 265 than if I'm hitting it 250 in the air and it stops because it's got so much spin when it hits the ground, it just stops. And that's what some people who slice the ball, they see they lose a lot of distance with that. So it's the same concept, learning the bottom of your swing, whether we're talking about pitching wedge, 7 iron, hybrid, driver. There are kind of different positions your body's in when you're hitting those clubs.
Absolutely, and it's and I think we get back to the idea when our students come to us and say, I want consistency. That's what you got to do to be consistent. It's not just, hey, I'm going to get a lesson and they're going to show me where it's at. It's to be consistent takes a lot of hard work, and it means hard work on your own. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
just not
Yep.
the instructor's just not going to give you a magic key or a magic book and say, here's the secrets, they're revealed to you. It
Right.
just like Ben Hogan said, you got to dig it out of the dirt, and you got to, at least for me, at least putting in an hour or something like that, a day or something like that, even if it's with the grip,
Yeah.
it helps your games tremendously as you go through.
There's two people you can't lie to. That is your golf professional and your dentist.
Yes, that is correct. You'll be exposed real quick.
Those people know what you've done in between the sessions or whatever.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So good stuff. I think it's just, go figure out what yours is, go use some of the drills we talked about. I love the towel drill for what you said, because that's the difference too, is that the hybrid and the 3 wood, we have a lot of, like you do too, like a lot of older people that have trouble hitting 3 wood or any type of wood off of a fairway. It's the same problem. They still don't know where the bottom of the swing is. It's not a different problem. Again, they're trying to lift it up instead of still kind of hitting a little divot. But my point is, like, if I can get the, listeners to visualize from the golf ball, go back probably again, sort of that maybe at the most like a foot or even 6 inches. There's a difference of how that club is coming down from a pitching wedge versus a hybrid, meaning the pitching wedge is coming from a higher angle. It's coming downward more, and the hybrid is basically because the ball position's moved a little more forward, it's actually coming from the club itself is closer to the ground already. It's lowering, we'll call it, instead of coming from a steeper descent.
So it's a little
A
bit
lot of
shallower as it
golfers,
comes into impact, right?
yeah, it has to, because it doesn't have as much loft as the pitching wedge, so it has to be. It can't be hit on such a downward angle, otherwise you're just going to lose a lot of power and spin. So I'm not telling people to revert back to your right side or hang back. It's just knowing that the ball position really changes that concept of where the club is going to bottom out at the same term. And we still taking a little divot. The divot with my hybrid is not nearly as big as the divot with my pitching wedge, pretty succinctly. That's the way to say it.
The one thing I do hear from, or the old school that I used to hear with the fairway woods and hybrids, is that you want to give the grass a haircut. I think people kind of get confused with that, and they think that they should swing level.
Right.
And I think you got to remember, if it's on the ground, we got to hit down, right? And if it's in
Yep.
the air, you hit up on it, right? And
Yep.
I think a lot of people, when I give them lessons, they're like, "Well, I need to give this thing a haircut." And I'm like, "Well, we need to give it a little bit more than a haircut. We need to get down there. We need to give it a
Yeah.
scalp, you know?"
Yeah, a little more trim. Yep. Good way.
And you're right. You want to have that small little divot. You don't need a big divot like you would with your pitching wedge, but you do want to make sure that your angle of attack is down, and that your low point is at least 1 or 2 inches ahead of the ball as you're coming through.
I think the last thing we can beat this thing up, but just to kind of give those big picture concepts to our listeners, when we're talking about that, again, maybe it even sounds like to them as they're listening, some of the players that might be struggling with this, okay, that's great, guys. Well, how do I do that? It's weight shift. It's how much pressure is going to go back to your left side, whether you do it slightly before the top of your backswing, whether you're at the top of your backswing and you're going to delay a little Hideki Matsuyama type of feel. What are you going to do? But just know that you have to shift your weight from your back leg to your front leg at a certain point at the top of your backswing. It can't be in your downswing. You can't. You, it's you haven't. You don't have enough time. You've got to do it early, and that's how you're gonna work on your hitting down into the golf ball. When you and really think about this, listeners, when you're at the top of your backswing and you start your just start your downswing, is your pressure going to your right foot or is it going to your left foot?
Correct.
And that's it. Go work on that for a month and then come back to us. If your pressure is going to your left foot, you got a chance. If your pressure is staying on your right foot, you don't have a chance.
No, not at all. My challenge to you, Sean, and I think we're gonna start doing this for our YouTube viewers as well. I'm gonna do a video that I think is gonna be the best for weight shift. I'd love to see you do one, and let's upload it and kind of, give our audience or give our viewers a little bit of a different view and say, "Hey, that's a concept that works for me," or, "This is what they're talking about." What do you say?
Yeah, no, it's great. We can have them vote on it, and we'll give you a prize at the end and stuff. So
Absolutely. We'll do like a little polling, see which one worked best for everybody, and kind of go from there.
right. No, it's great. It's a good way to show that different teachers teach it differently, and we might have, we have the same concept, but might deliver the message just a little differently. So no, it's a great idea. And, the more we get visual with our listeners, is the better, and it helps them just see it better than talking about it. So, great idea.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you've got a lot of listeners here that, obviously they want to hear the good word of what we're talking about, but at the end of the day, we need to kind of see some visuals of what we're kind of explaining to our students. And I think if we just upload a few videos to them and start doing that, I think they're going to be really interested in what we're doing, because we're pretty good at what we do, to be honest with you.
That's it. Well, it's a 10,000 hour rule. The more that we've taught over our career, we've gotten better at it. And if I had to go do stock trades on Wall Street right now, I probably wouldn't be very good. So why would I even think I should do that? Why wouldn't I go to a golf pro who knows what they're doing and help me out? And that's what we're talking about, is go to somebody, go find somebody who knows what they're doing, develop a relationship with that person, because like we've talked about, it's a, if you're not getting it correctly, the message from that one person, go find a different doctor. It's okay. No,
Yeah.
no hard feelings. You got to find
Absolutely.
who speaks your own language or speaks the language. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I know there's students of mine that didn't get the concept that I was telling them, and they went to somebody else, and they got the concept from them, and I am happy for them. At the end of the day, I want everybody to learn the game the best that they can and enjoy the game. If it comes from me or somebody else, that's not the end goal. But my idea is to make sure that if it's not me, to direct you to somebody that will get you to where you need to be.
Right. No, it's good information. Did you have a chance to watch Scotty Scheffler at East Lake?
Yeah, I got to watch a little bit of Scotty. To be honest with you, I watch as much as I can. I mean, it is football season coming along, and it's kind of tough. But I enjoyed watching Scotty. He did a great job. But there again, I still feel that the Tour Championship we're missing something, and I would say it's Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, and those guys. I would really like to see. I know that we've got Scotty dominating and Xander in there, but I'd really love to see a few more other names thrown in there to kind of challenge him a little bit. That's me. But Scotty has an absolute impressive season. 6 wins, 1 major, a gold medal. I mean, talk about that's a Hall of Fame career right there in 1 year.
Just in 1 year. So yeah, so as I've talked to some people at the club, I heard that feedback, well, he's not playing against all of first of all, he's playing against people in front of him. Like you could go back to literally Negro League baseball. Are those championships that the Yankees won in the 50s, are those legal because they weren't playing against African American players? Like, he's playing in front of who's in front of him. Does that make sense? Like,
Yeah, absolutely.
and yeah, I think it's terrible. It'd be great to see Koepka. Definitely Jon Rahm, who's kind of had an off season, but Bryson, like you're saying, there's some players on the LIV tour that are spectacular. Sergio's still got some game.
Cam Smith.
Cam Smith, that's the one I was trying to think of. Thank you, because I was trying to think of who won the
Yeah.
Open. We call both there's two Cams, basically Cam Smith and Cam, the other one, Cam Young.
Yeah, Cam Young.
But to his point or to whatever, the thing, and now that we've been able to see the Tiger 25-year dominance, and now we're starting to see not rivaling even same decade yet, but something you're starting to see something where if he continues this, which again shows you what Tiger's career was, because this what Scottie just did was like 3 of Tiger's years. Like
Yeah.
he did this. It was such a You took it for granted. And even then, even kind of like Nicholas, like, okay, he doesn't win the tournament, but he's in the top five
Yeah.
because he's sort of off or whatever. So to me, the difference, and I think Tiger was the best I'm ever going to see. I never got to see Nicholas as much except for the 86 Masters. You're always going to have that generational argument. The difference is Scotty hits it straight with his driver. That's the
Yeah.
difference. So the spectacular shots that we remember of Tiger that we could all start, talking about the 6 iron in Atlanta that goes across the lake and across the bunker in the dark type of
Yeah, the
thing.
Glen
Like,
Abbey shots and yeah, Firestone and all those in the dark and
Oh, Firestone, that was the one.
The
chip on 16 at Augusta, the chip at the Players' Championship. Like, he's got so many highlight reel stuff. And all Scottie Scheffler does is hit the ball if he wants to, as far as anybody on the course, if he wants to, but he hits it straight, and then he hits the next shot on the green, and then he makes a putt. And even when he's a bad putter, he's still in the top three of the world. Now he's fixed his putting again.
I mean, the good thing is he's putting up Tiger numbers, right? But it's so boring, right? It's just down the middle on the green, down. And the thing with Tiger, it was in the woods on the green, made the putt. And you're like, oh my God, that's great. But Scotty is putting up Hall of Fame numbers quietly, respectfully, and I would say he is definitely the Byron Nelson of our age right now.
Oh, that's a good term. Yeah, really good term. Yep. Kind of that Texas guy, even. Yep, you're right.
You know,
And
where Tiger was probably more of the Ben Hogan type, you've got more of now the Byron Nelson coming through.
Yep. as mannerisms on the course. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. Just doing my job. That's what I'm supposed to be here to do. And so he doesn't bring the same energy that Tiger did to an event.
No.
But it shouldn't be nothing should be taken away from him for because his value in the sport
Absolutely.
is,
And
it's not as big as Tiger. He does also very honestly because he's a white guy from Texas as opposed to a African American with Eurasian background, with where it could mix a lot of different ethnicities to the game. A lot
Yeah, a lot of culture there. They brought a lot of
of culture.
things, to the game. A lot of different influencers to the game. Tiger did.
Athleticism. He brought weightlifting. He brought staying in shape. He brought, he had a team of people that was not, like he had a lot. I mean, marketing. He. That's what I'm saying. He's transcended the sport, whereas Scheffler just kind of took the baton and said, "Okay, well, I appreciate it, Tiger, but I'm just going to go ahead and like he's just said, kind of boringly, yeah, just hit down the middle and."
Well, I think the big thing is with Tiger is that he brought the athlete in, and he, that Scotty has taken on the baton, but it's because of Tiger that he's brought in these athletes like Scotty, who probably would have played something like basketball or maybe
Right.
baseball or something else. Golf probably wasn't going to be on the radar for somebody as athletically hand-eye coordinated as him. And Tiger brought this, hey, you can be an athlete, you can play golf, and you can be amazing at it. And you're seeing Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau. You're seeing these guys that quite honestly should be fullbacks or linebackers in the NFL, and they're out here playing. And there you just think of the guys like the Corey Pavins back in the 80s and 90s. I mean, when
Yeah,
you look at the
Tom
difference,
Kite.
Tom Kite, I mean, you're looking at totally different body types, totally different athleticisms. And now it's just, you're going to see records get smashed, and you're just going to see some really good golf, I think.
No, it's fun to watch. I mean, it's there's just so much to take from. So, again, it's kind of done for the year now. It'll start back up, I guess, in December or whatever. The season's weird. They did do it correct because they did try to keep away from football. They realized that we got to get this thing completed before we get to football season in earnest.
Yeah, and
So.
it's going to be kind of tough. You got the President's Cup coming up now.
Yep.
And that,
Never
and we all
gets
know.
as much vibe as the Ryder Cup, does it? It never gets as much feedback as the Ryder Cup, I don't think.
And I think there's a few reasons why, at least for me. One, I think that at least for the international team, I think it's tough to gel. Right, you've got some guys that are from Australia, you got some guys from Japan. They don't probably speak the same language.
South
Language
Africa.
barriers. They don't probably play together nearly as much.
It's true.
I just find that they're never as cohesive as like the Euros. I mean, the Euros seem like they go to the bar together, hang out together, and just have the best time together. The
Very
Euros
true.
seem like the internationals seem like they're looking for their translator to talk to their partner all the time,
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah. It'll be interesting.
So, and playing over in Canada this year, I think that's going to be a big thing, at least for the President's Cup. I think they need to start having it in some areas where it starts drawing some big populations, Canada, America, and stuff like that.
Good point. So, well,
So,
good. Good. I think we hopefully helped out some golfers today and gave them some stuff to work on. I always tell people when at the end of the lesson, you got your homework now. Now you got to go do it. And
absolutely, absolutely. And as you said, your golf pro and your dentist will know. They'll expose you real quick if you have not been working on your swing
correct.
or your teeth.
That's correct. That's it.
So, well, we want to say thank you once again, our dynamic golf listeners. Once again, had a great time. If you guys have any questions, please drop us a comment on our thing, and we're going to start dropping some videos out there for you to start showing you some concepts. I'm Tim, and my partner Sean.
Hey guys, have a good week and we'll talk to you soon. Go practice.
So, thank you, and have a great one. Are you looking to elevate your golf game? With swingtheorygolf.com, you will. Tim, who is a certified PGA professional, offers expert instruction and personal attention to help you unleash your true potential. So get ready to tee off with Swing Theory Golf.